Hello.
Welcome to the sixth episode of our podcast,
Tales from the Midnight Society.
If you're listening to this, Halloween has come and gone and you're into greater things.
November, as they call it here.
Which is hard for us to get into yet because we're still like 2 days from Halloween. We're still hyped.
Yes, we're definitely ready for the spooks that are going to come on the 31st.
For sure. We'll try not to talk too much about Halloween because, like I said, you guys are probably over it. But we should briefly touch on what we did last night.
Yeah, because it's pretty interesting. We wanted to tell you guys. We're trying to share more of our lives so you guys feel involved.
If you follow us on Instagram, you will have seen that I posted a tiny clip to our story yesterday that was like super ominous.
Yes.
But like kind of hinting at what we did. But we did go to an after dark farm haunt, I guess you could call it.
Yeah, there's a couple in our area. We've gone to others in the past. That was like an after dark, like scary farm situation. And we went to one that was a little bit more cost effective this year because of your wedding.
Yeah, which I mean, to be honest, it was super cheap, like Dimitri mentioned, but I think it was my favorite.
Yeah, me too. Out of all of the ones we've been to, I definitely preferred this one for sure.
Yeah. So you go, it's pitch black. It's in the middle of nowhere. And they have like some of their fall activities that they do during the day still available. So you can shoot a corn cannon, which my fiance did. And he did well. There's a big ass slide you can go down, and like the little children we are, we all went down it.
We enjoyed that, I think, the most out of all of the activities we're about to go through with you guys, which is the worst part.
It is so fun.
Because we are literally children, but it's fine.
Yeah. There, I'm trying to think of the other non-scary related things. Oh, there was like a regular corn maze, and it's a big ass corn maze.
Yeah. And farm animals too.
Oh, there's farm animals, yeah.
There
was chickens in a tree.
I was gonna say, we literally saw chickens like sitting in a tree. They were sleeping. I don't know if I'm just not intelligent, but I have never seen a chicken in a tree before.
Not educated in the farm ways. No, neither have I, though. I genuinely didn't know chickens went into trees.
Neither did I. And then I look at Ashley's fiance and I was like, have you seen a chicken in a tree? Because Ashley's fiance grew up in the country and he's like, of course I have. And I was like,
oh, he said that?
Yeah, he was like, of course I have.
I wasn't there for that conversation.
I felt kind of a little
stupid.
A little too city in that moment.
Thanks, geek. So, yeah, and then, so the corn maze, it's pitch black outside, so it adds the spooky element because you can hear people screaming from the other haunted activities, and it's dark, and you're trying to navigate this gigantic maze.
Yeah, it was pretty big.
And we got lost for probably about an hour.
Yeah, I had gone to this, like, scary haunted farm thing 2 years ago with my cousin and my sister, and we also got lost. So I went with Ashley and Keegan, and I was like, we are definitely going to get through this corn maze because we are adults, contrary to what I said earlier. And we have actual smarts, contrary to what I said earlier. So I don't know, for some reason.
You thought we were going to accomplish things? We didn't. And we got super lost, and we ended up after an hour being like, you know what? We want to go do haunted things now. Let's just retrace our steps and go out the entrance, which we did. And then they have a map by the entrance, and we're looking at it, and we were not close.
Well, we were like halfway.
Yeah, but we were in there for an hour, and we're like just halfway.
Yeah, and we passed the same marking like three times, and then we were like, did we pass this already? Did we not pass this already? And then slowly my confidence in our intelligence diminished in what we could achieve, but it's fine.
Yeah. Then after that, we went to a haunted corn maze.
Yes.
And it was about a 30-minute experience. And it was much like the other corn maze, pitch black. There was fog injected into it, though, so it was even harder to see. And there was, like, tons of banging sounds and, like, gunshot sounds. And they had set up several buildings inside the corn maze as well. So, like, you would go into buildings that were, like, pitch black tight spaces. Yes. Or had, like, more haunted theme going on. Or, like, one of them was a building with like a bunch of doors, and you had to figure out which one to go out, and Demetria was leading and she refused to open any of the doors. So she created a nice little traffic jam.
I was scared because in this room there was four doors, but only one of them worked, obviously. But the point is that you're supposed to try and like go through the doors, and you can't, to create the illusion that you're stuck in there until you find the door that works. And I was just really nervous that if I pushed the door, something was going to come at me. So I therefore just stood there, and there was a point where I looked back at the group that was behind me, and there was a gentleman in there that was scaring all of them, and I was like, oh my god, we're gonna die. So then I started pushing the doors and eventually found the right one, but it was definitely, again, not a very intelligent thing that I've done.
And there was a lot of, like, really good characters, like, actors in there that did some good scares. Like, I don't scare easy, and I think I screamed, like, 20 times. My fiancé, he refuses to have verbal recognition of being scared.
Yeah, he doesn't acknowledge it whatsoever.
And at one point, a guy came running through the cornfield sideways and was, like, right behind Keegan. And Keegan jumped and went, oh, fuck. It wasn't like a scream or anything. It was just like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, he was just like, oh, fuck. And the guy obviously got him, but it wasn't a scream. I feel like both of us were looking at him, waiting for him to scream, and he just went, oh, fuck.
Yeah, just dropped his voice a couple octaves and swore.
Oh, fuck.
But it was really good. And then the second thing, the second scare that they had was a barn. And that one was more creative than, like, scary, I would say.
Yeah.
There wasn't a ton of jump scares. I think the scariest thing was Keegan had promised to stay behind me, and he switched spots with an actor on purpose because the actor had already came up behind Keegan and scared Keegan and made Keegan jump, and he wanted me to experience that. So he switches spots with the actor, and then the actor steps on my heel, and I think it's Keegan. So I turn around and I'm like, what the fuck are you doing? Like, yeah. About to give Keegan shit for stepping on me.
Yeah,
but it's the actor, so I screamed.
You definitely didn't say it in a scared way. You said it in, like, I'm about to get you in trouble.
Yeah, I was like, why? I turned around and be like, why are you stepping on me, bro? And then it's like this guy in a full costume, terrifying. So I just, like, jump and scream because, like,
yeah,
that's what you do.
He's like, I got in trouble.
The last thing in the barn to leave is, like, a simulated, like, walls closing in on you tunnel.
Yes.
And I am 50 shades of claustrophobic, like
400 shades of
400 shades of, like, I am a claustrophobic ass human. And I was like, I can't do this. And I looked, there was an actor, like, telling you to walk through it in full costume to be spooky. And I turned to him and I'm like, I can't go through that. And he just, like, kind of shrugs at me. And I'm like, no, but, like, I can't go through that. And he's just staring at me like, bitch, I'm not breaking character. I'm not helping you. So finally, Dimitri's like, let's go. So I grab onto her and she, like, books it through this thing. And she just keeps being like, we're almost there. We're almost there, Ashley. Like, we're almost through. And, like, Keegan's has his arms on either side of me trying to keep this thing from, like, touching me too much so I don't feel like I'm closed in. And we just, like, run through.
Yeah, I was trying to give you a pep talk because I was like, this is the last thing, which I actually found out. We actually found out that it was the last thing and probably why the actor never acknowledged.
Because he's probably like, this bitch just has to make it to the end, and then she's out of the whole thing.
Exactly. So he was probably like, just do it. How bad could it be, not realizing that you actually have claustrophobia issues? Like,
such bad. Anyway, so that was our activities last night. That was our taste of Halloween, besides just, like, watching Halloween movies on Halloween, probably, and handing out candy to the little children. Yeah, and
we're going to watch Hocus Pocus, which is the best Halloween movie ever. Do not fight me on this. I will murder you.
No, it's my favorite, too. It's like, I always save it for Halloween.
Yeah.
That and, like, Nightmare Before Christmas. But, like, I sometimes don't like to watch. I like to watch that in November. Because then I feel like you pass Halloween. You're not quite at Christmas yet. You're in the cusp. And it's, like, the perfect little window to feel like you can have both in your life.
Yeah. See, my thing is, I've watched The Nightmare Before Christmas before Halloween. And every time I'm like, now I just want Christmas.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And you have to hit it in November.
Yes.
Like, the day after Halloween, even. All right, well, Mrs. Demetria. Oh,
I have one more update for you.
Oh.
Yes, I have it written down in my notes. That was the one I was telling Ashley about topics we should discuss before I get into the story.
She's like, I wrote them down in my notes so I don't forget because I'm dorky.
Yeah, and then I almost read this one and made a face at Ashley. And then I thought Ashley was going to call me out, and she did it, which I'm glad, because then I would have had to tell her. But now I'm telling her now, and I can surprise her.
Oh, okay.
It's not really that surprising.
Speak to me.
I will speak to you. So, further to last episode, remember when I said that the creepy feelings went away? They came back. I don't know if I'm scaring myself.
Okay, question.
Yes.
Question. Did it come back after my story, or did it come back after our haunt last night?
No, it came back while I was editing after you told your story.
So I think you're scaring yourself.
I think so, because I was in my apartment and it was super quiet, which doesn't really happen that often here because I have three cats. So I'm constantly hearing them, like, running around, which you might be hearing right now because they are running around. I hear them like fighting, or not fighting, but like
wrestling.
I hear them jumping on the cat tree. I hear them eating plastic because that's what they love to do, is just try and kill themselves. And then I was editing the podcast and I just hear my apartment go silent. And I take one headphone off my ear and it was like dead quiet. And I got such a creepy feeling like somebody was watching me. And then I was like, I need to edit the rest of this podcast because we are releasing it a day late. And I creeped myself out so hard.
You know what this means?
What?
This means that we need to bring the Ouija board into your apartment. Oh,
okay. Another story about that quick. We've only used the Ouija board one time.
And it was at my house.
And nothing happened.
But we both have a firm belief that it was Keegan's negative energy.
Yeah, because we talked about this.
He hates Ouija boards.
Yes. I can't remember what episode we spoke about this. But he literally hates them, refuses to be around them, will not touch them, will not be near them, will not look at them, will not speak about one. And we wanted to do it, but he refused to leave the house. We were like, okay, go to the basement.
I think his energy in the basement jinxed the experience. But you're having all these creepy feelings.
I know.
And like I feel like it's a good time to bring the board over.
Yes. Well, if that happens, ladies and gentlemen,
we might have another story to tell.
Yeah, another one. I mean, I put in my notes that I'm not going to bring up the creepy feeling anymore unless something else happens, because I feel like it's been 3 episodes now.
Of you being like, I'm scared.
I'm scared, but I don't have a reason why. So if we bring the Ouija board over, then we're going to find out. Okay, I'm going to cry now. It's fine.
On that note,
let's get into my creepy story.
Yeah, what are you telling me? I don't even know what she's telling me about today.
So I was going to do the story of the St. Thomas Psych Hospital this week.
Okay.
But there was almost literally no information on it. I had maybe half a page of notes, which is typically not, I have a lot more than that. So I was kind of farting around on the internet. That's a weird way to describe it.
Yeah.
I was on the internet looking at other haunted places in St. Thomas, because the St. Thomas Psych Hospital, surprise, is in St. Thomas. And there was another post on the internet about this location. And I started researching it, and there was some information on it, and enough that I could get a story out of it. But I will say ahead of time that this is going to be a shorter one than usual, because there wasn't as much stuff. We're finding that a lot of stories in Canada aren't as well documented as ones in the States.
Yeah. Well, especially paranormal related. Like for when I did my episode, I didn't mention this because I ended up finding a really good one, but we have a list of paranormal stories we want to check out, and any that are too short to podcast, I guess is what we called it.
Yeah.
We highlight orange on our list to be like not enough info. And I probably cleared half the list in orange.
Yes.
When I was looking. We're thinking that we might do a orange episode, yeah, as it would be, and literally just take turns telling you shorter, less documented stories quickly and go over all those orange ones, because they're still really cool. It's just not enough to podcast to you.
Yeah. So while I was researching my topic, I found that the St. Thomas Psych Hospital
was another orange.
Was an orange story. But I found one to replace it in St. Thomas, which is all good. So my story is of Alma College, which was a girls' private school in St. Thomas, which is in Canada. It's in Ontario, built in 1878. The school was in operation between 1881 and 1988. Do you know much about Alma College?
I have never heard of this in my life.
Okay, we're going to get into it, ladies and gentlemen. So first, fun fact. The exterior of Alma College and its grounds were featured in the 1997 Disney film, Mr. Headmistress.
I've never heard of that in my life.
Neither have I, but apparently that's a thing.
Okay.
The interior was featured in the 2006 horror film, Silent Hill.
I know that one.
Yep. So they used the inside of the building to film there, which I actually looked at pictures. It was super cool. We might post some of those in our Instagram. And a painting of the college burning down, which, spoiler alert, happens, was featured in the 2009 film Orphan.
Oh.
Yeah, so
those are bigger films, too.
Exactly. So if you look at pictures of Alma College, it is actually very sinister and very creepy looking. So the architecture of the building is actually quite interesting, which is one of the reasons why I picked this story.
Okay.
So lastly, of my fun facts, is Canadian actor Rachel McAdams grew up in St. Thomas. I'm sure a lot of people know that. And performed plays in the outdoor amphitheater with the original Kids Theater Company. In 2015, Rachel was given a star on Canadian's Walk of Fame and stated that her teacher at the original kids at Alma College, Jim Shaper, I think is how you say his name, was a man who taught me all that you need is imagination to call yourself an actor. A simple, elegant lesson I've carried with me always. So she used to literally perform in the amphitheater that's outside of Alma College with her teacher.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So she used to like hang out there, I guess.
So there's some ties.
There's some ties. I thought that was cool. There was a couple of ties to the Hollywood.
To the Hollywood.
To the Hollywood. So I'm just going to go over the history. So with the economic boom of St. Thomas in the late 19th century, Bishop Albert Carman, proposed that a ladies' college should be established. The school name derives from the late Alma Monroe, the wife of Sheriff Colin Monroe and Miss Alma Monroe Dunfield, which is their daughter. So it was named after those two. So Alma College was officially opened in 1881 as a liberal arts college for women, teaching literature, arts, and music. By 1883, it had 165 students. It was one of the first schools of its time to positively promote the education of women, which I thought was very important.
That is cool.
That is really cool. I mean, Canada's always been a little bit more forward-thinking, I think, than other places.
Yeah.
But I like that they had acknowledged that women need an education, too, especially in 1881, because I feel like at that point, women were still being told that they don't need an education.
That they were wives.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So Alma's college grounds featured a main building, a chapel, a hall gymnasium, and a unique outdoor amphitheater, the same amphitheater that was referenced by Rachel McAdams earlier in the story. By 1973, the school began to experience a significant financial struggle to continue its operation. A portion of the residence was opened as a satellite seniors home for long-term care for the seniors. Because of these financial struggles, they
were like half a school, half a seniors home.
Yes, because they were like, we got to get some money in somewhere. So the same year, a co-ed elementary school was established on campus as well, again, to help fund the school.
So they had a college, an elementary school, and a seniors home on the same campus.
Yes, on the same property.
It's a lot.
Finally, in 1987, Alma College teachers faced job security issues and were earning about half what a public high school teacher earned.
Ugh, yeah, yikes.
Exactly. I think because it was private, they were just underpaying their staff greatly.
Yeah.
And obviously there was financial struggles.
So they just budget cut their wages.
Exactly. Which is horrible. Teachers should be paid a lot more than they are now. And I can only imagine what they were making in 1987.
Yeah.
So in February 1988, the first strike by members of a private school in Ontario was called. The strike lasted over 3 months with a ruling that the Alma board was guilty of unfair labor practices. So like we just talked about. At the end of the academic year, all teachers were told that their services were no longer needed as the school was closing. Primary and music classes continued to be held there until 1994. So they were doing like classes, but not necessarily like schooling there.
They were just doing like music.
Yeah, like private classes, I think. Yeah. In 1994, a last effort to reopen the school was unsuccessful due to low enrollment. So at that point, they couldn't get anybody to even enroll in the school, let alone.
Well, because they hadn't really been open. So probably everyone was like, I'm already going somewhere. No, thank you.
Exactly. Why would I enroll in a private school?
Yeah.
Now I'm going to talk about the building's demise.
Okay.
So Alma College changed ownership several times after failed attempts to convert the grounds into a retirement home, a co-ed high school, and otherwise general restoration of the building.
Okay.
So they tried to turn it into a bunch of stuff, were unable to. No one wanted to enroll or invest in this place for some reason, even though it was beautiful. If I had the money, I would have invested into it. But that's besides the point. Shortly after the production of Mr. Headmistress, the Disney film that I spoke about, various outdoor improvements were made to the building as well as restoration of groundwork surrounding the structure. Nearly 1 month after the production of the film, a London, Ontario development company purchased the college and developed plans to build a retirement community on the campus in 1998.
Another retirement community.
Yes. So they had plans to turn the entire building into a retirement community.
Not just a half retirement community.
Yes, because it wasn't a school anymore, so what do you do with old people in Ontario?
Put them in a beautiful building?
Yes, put them in a retirement community. There are so many retirement communities in Ontario and also Canada. This is a weird fun fact, but I think our retirement, the amount of retired people in Canada is like higher than most countries in the world.
Retired people or retired people in communities?
No. Retired people in general. Like our age majority, I think, is people over the age of 65.
Oh, wow.
Canada's crime rate is actually less than other countries, including the U.S. because we have old people and old people are less likely to commit crime. At this point, the school began to see a wave of vandalism due to general unoccupancy. Shortly after
Wait,
that,
it, It was unoccupied, but I thought the retirement community bought it.
So there was a builder from London, Ontario, or a development company that purchased the property to build on it, but hadn't started building yet. Shortly after that, the London Development Company handed over control of the project to the Zubik family because of lack of interest from the family, municipality, and bankers. The building was gutted, asbestos, general fixtures, and walls were removed, leaving little but timber frame inside the building. The ghostly innards were used for the film of Silent Hill, which I talked about in 2005. So when it was stripped...
and gutted, that's when they used it for the film.
Yes. When you look at this movie Silent Hill, when you look at frames of it, you can see like a gross, demolished, somewhat demolished building. That's Alma College in the film.
Okay.
So from 2005 and onward, many people tried to sell the building or apply for demolition, but no one was interested in buying the property. And because the building was historic, applications for demolition continued to be denied. The building was left standing bare and abandoned.
Dun, 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 dun.
Which is really sad. So now I'm going to talk about how the building caught fire. I mentioned this in the beginning of the story, but I'm going to go through the details of it. So Alma College caught fire on May 28th, 2008. The smoke could be seen as far as downtown London, Ontario. So if people don't know, I would say downtown London is like 45 minutes from St. Thomas. So that's pretty far away. So shortly after the fire began, the main building was completely engulfed. The fire took place shortly after the Ontario Municipal Board issued a final order approving its demolition.
So it was approved to be demolished and then caught fire.
Yep. At the time of the fire, the building was completely open, exposed to numerous fire hazards. Timber members within the structure had no fire protection, and numerous broken windows allowed for proper flow of ventilation to only encourage the flames. So again, because it was stripped previous to filming Silent Hill, it now was just an entire piece of timber and air for this fire to just grow so large. So eventually, after many hours of active flames, the main school building was destroyed by fire. An investigation by the St. Thomas City Fire Department, they found the blaze, which began in the building's rear stairwell, which is the result of arson.
Oh, so someone lit the building on fire.
Yes. The music building and the chapel were not destroyed immediately by the fire, and the response to the fire was fast enough that the local fire department was able to save the music building. However, weathering, vandalism, and neglect continued to further damage the surviving structure since the fire.
Someone really wants to be the third member of our podcast.
Yes. So even though they were able to save the music building.
It was disgusting.
Yes. Hobos are probably living in it as we speak. So after the fire, the remaining shell of the main building was torn down due to safety considerations by the municipal government of St. Thomas. Shortly after the fire, two boys were arrested and charged with arson. The identity of both boys, aged 14 and 15 at the time of the fire.
Oh my God.
Yes. Could not be revealed under the Youth Criminal Justice Act. Trial occurred, and in the ruling, the boys were found guilty of arson and sentenced to 240 hours of community service and 2 years of parole. I would like to think that they did it to save the building from demolition, but I can't say that for sure because the boys were 14 and 15.
They were probably like, yo, let's burn this abandoned building down. Yeah, man, let's do it.
Yeah, I can't see them being that considerate towards the history of St. Thomas.
I really doubt it.
But I would like to think so. So we will put pictures of the college on our Instagram because when I was looking at pictures of the flames, actually, they are ridiculous. Like the fact that you could see them from downtown London, Ontario, it is so sad. Because you see this beautiful building torn up in flames and the flames are so high and so grand. Like looking at the pictures, I felt sad for the history of this building because the fire was so crazy. And like I said, we'll post pictures on Instagram. So now I'm going to get into the ghosts and the supernatural instances that happened at Alma College.
Okay.
An investigation of the grounds by Haunted North America resulted in chilling experiences of young girls allegedly whispering abusive threats, showing the investigators that their presence was unwelcome.
Oh.
Yes. I did try to find this information or more information on this on the Haunted North America website, but it actually doesn't exist anymore.
Like Haunted North America doesn't?
Does not.
Oh.
I know. I was so sad when I found this because I was like, oh, they did an investigation and they were able to find some kind of, obviously had an EVP or something of whispers.
But they're gone.
But the website doesn't exist. I found this information on another website that had obviously reviewed the Haunted North America website.
Okay.
Yeah. So I wasn't unable to get any other confirmation from that.
Just that it may exist but at one point.
Well, and I'm going to give Haunted North America the benefit of the doubt.
That they had the EVPs that they claimed to have.
Yep. So then there was a paranormal investigation that I found. So the YouTube channel Crazy Canuck TV.
Crazy Canuck TV. I love it.
It's the most Canadian sounding place. The most Canadian sounding YouTube channel I've ever heard in my life. So they did a paranormal investigation of Alma College in 2016. Their goal was to find the ghost of Angela, who is said to haunt the college. And I'm going to talk more of Angela later.
Okay.
So to preface, I'm not sure how real any of this information is, as the investigation itself could be fabricated. They did videotape a lot of stuff, but they could just be like, oh, go over there and do footstep noises and then I'll catch it on video. Who knows, right? But I don't want to also say that it's fabricated because these guys recorded themselves. They do other videos like this is my understanding as well. So maybe they're real serious and this is what they found. So I did also find the investigation to be kind of cliche, but I was interested because they did explore some of the grounds that are still there, like the amphitheater that I mentioned. And I also enjoyed their Canadian accents. I literally put in my notes here, I also enjoyed their Canadian accents, LOL. As the most paranormal investigators I've seen are American.
I dig it.
Yes. Like, they literally kept being like, show yourself. We know you're here. Or like, oh, what the fuck? But they had like the most thick Canadian accents. And they're like, the ooh noise and oh, or show, or no, kept coming out. And I was laughing so hard because
it's show yourselves.
Yeah, show yourselves. I have my toque on. Like, it was literally wintertime. And all I could think about it was like, I love your toque. So, Crazy Canuck TV reported battery issues, hearing footsteps, other loud noises, and seeing a mist during their investigation. They also did take out a Ouija board to try and contact Angela, but instead they contacted the Ouija board demon Zozo. Do you know who Zozo is?
I do. He is the Ouija board demon, and I'm pretty sure he is the demon that is featured in the Ouija movie, as well as the Exorcist movie.
I don't know. I've never seen either.
But I think that he's referred to as Pazuzu, but that's just a different version of his name.
Oh, that's really cool. So based on my research, Zozo is a demon that's said to communicate with people via the Ouija board.
Yes, that's his main form of creeps. But if you've seen The Exorcist, like, he's so much more than that.
Okay, I'll have to watch it then. People keep telling me to watch it, but it's such an old movie.
It's old and kind of cheesy, but like, that's that demon. And like, there's tons of real stories you can find on the internet about him too. So like, to watch that and know that that's the demon that that's based after, that's kind of like heebie-jeebies. Anyway, continue.
Yeah, I would definitely have to watch that movie. The Crazy Canuck TV YouTube channel did mention that they've been in contact with Zozo prior to the video and that they were nervous that he was back.
Well, because from what I know about him, once you contact him, like, he's yours.
Yes. And that's what they kept mentioning in the video. I mean, they were trying to contact Angela. They kept saying Angela's name, but then they contacted Zozo and they were really upset about that.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. Like, I don't know how much of their video was fabricated or not fabricated. Well, because
a lot of people jump on the Zozo train.
Yes. But they seemed genuinely concerned that he was back and that Angela was nowhere to be found.
Okay.
So they were unable to contact Angela, but they did find some stuff there. And based on their video, the grounds looked super creepy. So I'm going to go into the main ghost, which is Angela, as I mentioned. Angela was rumored to be a cruel music teacher locked in a closet by students and left to die. The Western Tower, or turret, was often referred to as Angela's Tower, also the Ivory Tower, but because she was the one locked in there, people call it Angela's Tower, as this is where she supposedly remained for many years after her death, haunting Alma College. Her footsteps were frequently heard pounding up and down the tower staircase, and things were often found moved in the art room close by. Angela also slammed doors, ran down the turret/tower, and was seen by those brave enough to stay alone in the tower, which was nicknamed, again, the Ivory Tower. Those are interchangeable.
Okay.
There had also been reports of cries, voices, and other strange noises, along with apparitions of young girls. So there's other stuff going on in the tower. All I could think about while I was researching this was like Moaning Myrtle from Harry Potter.
Oh my God.
That she's just in the bathroom being like, someone locked me up. And like, that's crying.
Horrible.
Yes. But yeah, that's all I could think about. I don't know why, because also Moaning Myrtle was a student and this is a teacher, but I imagine her like with the glasses as well. So there are many theories as to who Angela was and how she died. Records which date back to the earliest of when the school started in 1881 were searched, but there was no mention of a teacher with the first name Angela. So many people theorize about her based on that.
So it could just be like a wives' tale.
Yes. But there are other theories as well, which I will get into. The first theory about Angela is one night the girls at the school devised a revenge plan, which was locking her up in a trunk and leaving her in the attic. When they went to let her out the next day, she was gone and never returned.
That's another Angela theory?
Yes.
Okay.
Another theory as to whom the ghost of Angela may belong to was that she was an evil and menacing teacher. So same thing, that she was a teacher. Other claims that she was a disgruntled student back in the late 1800s that wanted out of, this article put, Almatraz.
Almatraz.
Yeah, like Alcatraz.
Yeah, but Almatraz. I got it.
That's funny. And she hanged herself in the tower. The last explanation or theory is that each hall had a represented house mother to run that part of the school, to be there to answer any request. The reason they had them as well is because I guess a lot of girls were far from home attending the school.
So they stayed there.
Yeah. When I first read this, I thought that the college was for the people that lived in St. Thomas, but I guess there was people from all over Canada that came.
It was like an overnight girls' school.
Yes. Yeah. Like they stayed there. And I guess a lot of people sent their daughters to be educated there because, like I said, it was one of the first girls'
schools. It's like a girls' boarding school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So anyways, a lot of these kids were away from home, so they had house mothers to help with that transition.
Again, girls' boarding school.
Yes. And a lot of people think Angela was actually a house mother and, like, an evil house mother, and then the girls locked her up.
Okay.
So this might explain why no teacher was named Angela. But despite Angela's menacing post-mortem behavior, students celebrated her each year on Halloween.
Oh.
Yeah. So it was a tradition at the college. So every Halloween, a birthday party was held for Angela. Many pranks would be carried out and everyone would wear disguises and odd costumes and even would ring the dean's bell. So in 1974, author Eileen Sonin, I'm going to go with Sonin, publicly wrote about Angela for her book, More Canadian Ghosts. Sonin visited Alma the same year to experience the ghosts. The dean gave her a tour and showed Sonin the most haunted location, the middle tower room. So she didn't actually see anything while she was there, but she did get a personal anecdote from another person that had attended the college, or I guess not attended, but was close by. So one of the personal anecdotes was on one of the websites that I found, and I'm just going to read it verbatim to how it was written in the article. So one memorable Halloween, many of us young and virile males ran the gauntlet around Alma College, knowing that girls were out having their celebrations, and tried to crash the party. The girls were hanging out their dorm windows, whistling at us and beckoning us to go inside.
Oh, God.
Because they were at all girls college and they were like, there's boys outside.
Yeah.
So they're like, come inside and come party with us. So the girls beckoning them to go inside. But as we approached the building, we were startled out of our dream by bright lights and police cars raced into the yard, flashing their searchlights to and fro. So the headmistress must have phoned the cops, we thought. So my understanding is that the theory of Angela contacted the police to scare the boys away from the school. It was never confirmed that the headmistress contacted the police.
Yeah.
And the girls didn't because they were trying to get them to come inside the building.
Right.
So this person that was snooping around trying to get some schoolgirl kisses maybe on Halloween thought that it was Angela that actually contacted the police to keep them away from the building. Miss Sonin speculated that Angela may have passed on to another plane, but she undoubtedly once haunted Alma College, and perhaps every now and then she would return just to see how things were going at her old alma mater. But to this day, Angela's identity has never been revealed or confirmed.
Okay.
And that is the story of Alma College.
That's cool. I actually dug that. Like, I mean, it wasn't super crazy, but it was good.
Yeah. Mostly, I was really intrigued by the actual burning down of the building.
Yeah. I like Angela. I want her to do more harm.
Do more harm, as we talked about last week.
I know. I feel like we're giving us a lot of, like, I mean, Angela's less Casper, but, like, she's still, I don't know, man. There's just something creepier about ghosts, remnants of an all-girls school.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't know if that's just me, if I'm weird, but there's something creepier about it.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think because all-girls schools are already so out of place for our time as it is right now.
Well, there's still definitely girls boarding schools.
Yeah, but like they're not as common as they used to be.
No, definitely not.
And definitely there's always rumors that weird stuff is happening in them.
Yeah.
So I think people automatically attribute creepy things happening. And then when you have actual ghosts in there,
Yeah.
Especially the ghost of Angela.
Well, and I like that this story had lots of connections. Like the creepy building was in Silent Hill and like Rachel McAdams went there. And
yeah, it's just overall like a more well-known building for many reasons, because the fire made like national news.
Yeah.
Then Rachel McAdams was here and then different films were filmed here.
Yeah.
So it was definitely like one that I was interested in, especially because the pictures of the burning, like super creepy, and just like, and you definitely, when you see them, you want to like mourn for the loss of this building.
It's beautiful.
It's beautiful. It's a beautiful building. It looks like a little mini Hogwarts.
Aww.
That's kind of the style of it. But yeah, I liked it, even though there wasn't a lot of ghosts associated with the building. It was just all around a super creepy looking building.
Let Angela be enough for you.
I'm sorry, Angela.
Well, should we wrap it up?
We'll wrap it up.
All right. Well, I hope you all have a good beginning of November.
Yeah, and I hope everybody had a good Halloween as well, because we didn't mention that in the last episode.
I think we say this all the time, but follow us on Instagram.
Yeah, Tales from the Midnight Society.
And yeah, send us an email, talesfromthemidnightsociety@gmail.com.
Yeah.
We love to hear from you. It's pretty much all I got.
Yeah.
Short and sweet.
If this is the first episode that you're listening to, make sure to listen to other episodes, because we're like super interesting and cool and we want you to listen.
Yeah. All right. Well, bye.
Bye.